All right, if you take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Acts chapter 8, we're continuing our study through the book of Acts, verse by verse, and as we do so, we're looking particularly at the beginning of the New Testament church and how God's good news is beginning to spread, as He said it would, from Jerusalem throughout Judea into Samaria, and through Paul will be reaching the uttermost parts of the world. And as we look at this, we see not only that God's Word is being spread, but that the church is growing. In fact, we see that it's being added to every single day. People are coming to know Christ. And the church is doing what God has called it to do. So that's a beautiful picture, and I'm so grateful for the pictures in here that show us people who are willing to be obedient. In fact, really, truly, if you wanted to come up with one word that would describe what we are supposed to be as Christians, it's obedient. We don't like that word. We don't like to be obedient all the time. In fact, nobody taught you as a kid how to be disobedient, did they? No. If you're around little kids and there's toys there, and one of them grabs a toy and the other one says, "That's my toy," and they say, "No, it's my toy." Nobody taught them how to do that. You have to teach them how to share. You have to teach them the things that we don't necessarily want to do. We have to be taught to do that. For us as Christians, it's obedience. It's doing what God has called us to do. To do what He said for us to do. And so, this morning, as we read through this passage, I'm going to begin in verse 26 of chapter 8. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with the very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' The official answered, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' And he ordered the chariot to stop, and then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again. But he went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." Father, I come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you and praising you for this awesome day. What a beautiful day it is, Lord. It's a day that you've given us. It's a day that we can be together in the body of Christ. It's a day that we can rejoice in the joy that we saw on the faces of these children as they learned about you this week. We can rejoice in all the people who came and helped and did so many different things to allow you to be able to reach and touch hearts this week in Vacation Bible School. Lord, thank you for this day. It's your day. We worship you. We honor you. We thank you for your love and forgiveness. We thank you for the blood that shed on the cross, Jesus shed on the cross for us, for our sins, to cover us, to cleanse us, to make us whole. We thank you, Lord, for your word, that we can look in it. We can have it before us. We can study it. We can pray. We can hear you, and you can speak. Lord, I just want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you. Lord, most of all, I thank you for the living water that we find in those places called the desert. And it's found in Jesus Himself. He is the way and the truth and the life. And no one will come to the Father except through Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, verses 26 and 20, the first part of verse 27 show us what I was talking about a while ago. It showed us that Philip was obedient to do what God called him to do. Now, I can tell you that when God speaks to us, we have one of two answers, yes, Lord, or no, Lord. It's not maybe later, Lord, because that's no. When God speaks to us, He's expecting us to obey. I remember as a young boy, my mom and my granddad had ways to help me understand when I didn't obey. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Now, we can't mention spanking in today's society. Forget that. No way. And that might harm their little ego. My ego got harmed every day. You know why they did that? Because they hated me? No, because they loved me. And they wanted me to be obedient. To learn to obey. You see, if I had not learned that, then I wouldn't obey other things. I could just take that speed limit sign as a suggestion. I could just see stuff in a store as something that I'd really like and they won't really miss it. I could do all kinds of things because I could bend the rules to fit what I say. But it's not up to me, right? And especially when we come to know Christ as our Savior and Lord. The word Lord means He's in charge and I'm not. And so Philip hears from God speaking to him, and he says, "I want you to go down south to the road the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." And so that's exactly what Phil did. He didn't say, "Well, God, I'll do that sometime next week, but this week I got a lot on my plate." Right? He did it. I think we miss a lot of blessings of God because when He tells us to do something, we put it off. Or we say, yeah, God, I'll get to it, but I can't do it right now. Isn't it amazing that God knows more about what we can do and not do than we do? It really is. Philip said, okay, man, I'm on the way. And he was. He went right on down. God's command hasn't changed to Philip, and it hadn't changed to any other of the believers since Acts chapter 1:8 when he says, go into all the nations and preach the gospel. It hadn't changed. It's still God's command for us to go and to be His witnesses. Look at what Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God's command is for us to what? Go. That's what He tells us to do. He tells us to go wherever we need to go to tell people about Jesus. One of the major problems facing today's churches in America and really all over the world is that we've discounted the go instruction. We've tried to figure out another way to get around that because we don't really like to go. To be honest, we really don't. What will they say? How will I be received? What if Paul had done that? What if Paul says, no, I'm not going to go tell all those people that don't know Jesus about Him because I might have to go through struggles and trials. I might be stoned. I might be thrown in prison. I might, you know. What if He'd have done that? We might not be sitting here today. We instead expect people to come if they want to hear the gospel. In fact, Luke chapter 14, verse 23 says this, the master told his servant, go out, you got to go so they can come. Go out to the roads, county lanes, compel them to come in so my house will be full. You see, folks, people aren't rushing in here this morning. Have you noticed that? They're not rushing into most churches in America right now. Why? Because we're not going. Just to be honest. We're not going and asking them. We're not going and inviting them. We're not going and telling them, hey, if you come to church with me, I'll take you to lunch. Hey, they might come then. You know, we're supposed to be going. All of us. There's not, we don't get a pass, by the way. Oh, that's just for some people. The Lord is speaking to all of us. We are to go and to compel them to come. Use whatever it takes. You know, folks, I saw hundreds of teenagers come to know Christ because of one thing, pizza. Man, you have a pizza party, they're going to come eat. And when they come eat pizza, then you get to tell them about Jesus. Compel them. Do whatever it takes. Use something to get somebody's attention so that they'll come and hear the good news. So Philip shows up. And he conforms to God's command. And he knows exactly what he ought to do. So the scripture says he got up and he went. He got down. He didn't stay where he was. He got up and he went where he was supposed to go. He didn't argue. What about over there, Lord? We're having great success in that area. You want me to go out in the desert and talk to one guy? He didn't respond, Lord, let me pray about this. I just need to know that's what I'm supposed to do. I mean, if God says it, we ought to know it's Him, right? If God says something, we don't have to pray about it. We just need to obey. Amen or oh me, right? Amen. All right. So he was obedient, and he followed through with it by his actions. He listened when the Spirit spoke to him. You know what? I think that's really kind of a problem sometimes for all of us, because we know we hear God speak, but we kind of act like we don't. Because when we act like we do, then we got to do something with that. So we just kind of go, oh, I don't know if that was really the Lord. Maybe I just had indigestion or something. I don't know what it was. But you know what? God is speaking to all of us all the time. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit is continually speaking. We might just say, if God would just speak out loud, I would hear, you know, with a mighty voice from heaven, then I would answer Him. But He's speaking all the time. He's speaking all the time. If you know Christ, you have the Holy Spirit in you, and He's always speaking. The problem is not that God is not speaking, it's that we are not listening. Amen or oh me again, right? I think God is speaking to us all the time. And I can just tell you this. There have been times that I know God spoke to me to tell somebody about Jesus, and I didn't do it. And there was a remorse in my spirit that came over me immediately. You know what I'm talking about. Why would we do that? We feel like we're embarrassed or I don't know exactly what to say or I might say something that would cause them not to understand God more, and they might end up... You can't send anybody to hell by telling them about Jesus. It just doesn't work that way. God has called us to go and to tell. The problem is, by the way, any of y'all know what that really is? Right. It came out back in about 1940. Yeah. This is a picture of a radio I used to have in my old Chevrolet pickup, 1960. The knobs were on the outside there, but that was the middle. The thing about that is you could turn the knob and you get in between stations, and you know what you would hear? You know, it was just staticky, you couldn't hear. But once you got to that station, it was boom, it was right on, you know. And so, boy, the more you could just tune it in, the better it got, right? That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to tune in to Him. I think a lot of times we stay in that static zone, and life becomes static. And it seems like everything is chaotic, and it doesn't make sense. And I'm not getting anything out of it. God wants us to tune in. And you know how you do that? You become obedient. You become obedient to Him. You listen to what He says in His Word. To do that, you got to get into His Word. You spend time with Him in prayer. You hear what He has to say, and then you become sensitive to His Spirit as you're walking through the day. You know what? I honestly believe that every single day of our lives, God gives us an opportunity to speak the truth for Him, if we'll just take it. If we'll just listen, if we'll be obedient, it's there. God puts people in our path all the time for a reason. Philip listened, and then he obeyed. In verses 29 through 31, it says, man, he went straight to where he was supposed to go, and he met this Ethiopian eunuch. By the way, this is a little side note on that. You might wonder, why was an Ethiopian eunuch, somebody from Ethiopia, up in Jerusalem worshiping God? Well, there's a deeper story to all that, and Chuck Missler gets into some of that, but one of the things about it is Candace, who was the queen of Ethiopia, was a believer. And she wanted to know more about God, and so she sent her eunuch up there, but in the process, found out that there was a situation where the Romans were thinking about attacking Jerusalem. And she knew if the Romans attacked Jerusalem, they would tear down the temple and everything in it would be gone. And so Missler's theory is that the Ethiopian eunuch went to take the Ark of the Covenant to a safe place so that when the attack came, it would be still good, still there. By the way, nobody knows where it is. Well, at least most people don't know where it is, but it's still there because the Scripture says that in the end times when they rebuild the temple, the Ark of the Covenant will be brought back into the temple. That's just a little side note. It didn't cost any extra. All right. So anyway, he obeyed. And the Scripture actually says he ran to them. He didn't sit around and wait and expect God to bring them to him. When God said go, Philip ran. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of times I know God says to me to do something, and I drag my feet. I mean, God, I'm heading that way. Can you see me? I'm going. I'll get there, really. But Philip ran. He realized that when God said this, it was important. And man, he took off. And by the way, back then, if you were running in a tunic, you had to fold that sucker up and tuck it in your belt or you'd be on the ground. And that's exactly what he did. So when God said go, he ran. God will use those who make themselves available. You want to be used by God? Here's what you say. Here I am, God, send me. Remember Isaiah saying that? Isaiah was caught up before the throne of God. And he was just taken back by the majesty of who God is and by His holiness. And he said, oh God, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, but my eyes have beheld the King. And God said, who will go for me, and who will I send? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord, send me. You want to be used by God? Tell Him that. He knows your heart anyway, but tell Him that. Here I am, Lord, send me. And so Philip comes, and he begins to share with this young man, with this Ethiopian eunuch, who is reading, by the way, Isaiah. Reading out of the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verses 7 and 8. He's reading this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before the shearer, talking about Jesus. He didn't open up his mouth, and his humility, humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? And he doesn't understand what he was talking about. So Philip comes and he makes a connection because he says, hey, do you understand what you're talking about? He uses this opportunity to do what he's supposed to do. He's going, he's already gone, and now he's going to tell. Philip uses that opportunity provided to tell the truth. He uses the fact that the Ethiopian was reading Isaiah but didn't understand who was talking about. And he connected with him. And if you look and see what it says here, the eunuch invites him to come up into his own chariot and sit with him. You see, I believe that we have this concept that most people don't want to hear about God. That most people don't want to hear what you have to say about Jesus. But I dare say that is a fallacy, and it's a lie of Satan, because the more I share Jesus with people, the more I realize that's all they've ever wanted to hear was the love of God. They might hold you at arm's length for a moment or for a little while, but I guarantee you the heart of a person without God has got a big old hole in it, and all they're trying to do is fill it up with the things of this world, thinking that something's going to finally click and it's going to fill up that hole. But there's nothing that will fill up the hole in their heart except the God of this universe. And we have the answer. His name is Jesus. What he's done for us. And people are looking for love, as this song says, in all the wrong places. You see, if we isolate ourselves from other people, how will they hear? We must be putting ourselves in places where we can have contact with the lost. A lot of people say, man, you know, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to sit down with all my church buddies and we're always going to be in church together, and here we are together as the body of Christ. But listen, folks, if you're always in this group and these are all your friends and that's it, how are you going to reach out into this community? How are you going to reach out to those people that are hurting? How are you going to reach out to the people that are lost? We've got to go where they go, where they are. We've got to be willing to say, hey, listen, I love you no matter what. I don't know, most of you know that I work out at the golf course. I've played golf most of my life. Since I was 10 years old, I've loved golf. It hadn't always loved me, but I've loved golf. And there's a lot of times that I'll go out and play golf with people I don't even know. You know, and so we'll be playing along, and man, this guy will hit a terrible shot, and he'll start cursing and all kinds of stuff, and then another guy will break his club and throw it in the river or whatever. You know, it's just, you know, I don't, golf brings that out in some people. I don't know what it is, but it's a great game, by the way. So, you know, stuff like that's happening, and, you know, sooner or later, finally one of them will say, hey, what do? I go, well, I pastor down at Calvary Baptist. Oh, you're a pastor. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said those things in front of you. And you know what I always say? You said it in front of God. I'm just the pastor. He's God. You've been saying it in front of him. And in fact, you even called his name. You know, we've got to be out amongst people. How can you be salt and light if you don't go where they are? If you don't get involved with other people? Now here's a touchy situation. Do you know your neighbors? I mean, know them, not just know their name and what he does for a living or what she does. Do you know them? Have you ever invited them into your house? Have you been in theirs? You might say, well, my nearest neighbor's 6 miles away from me. Okay, well, I understand that. But the fact is that God puts people into our path, whether through work or through coworkers or through places that you go on a regular basis, or God puts people into our path, and unless we go and get a part, you know, be a part of where they are, we're not going to have any influence. That's exactly what Philip did. Man, as soon as God said, I want you to go down into the desert, that's exactly where he went. He didn't say, God, I don't even like the desert. Why are you sending me down there? There's nobody down there. Look at all these people here. He could have done anything. But he chose to obey God. And so Philip began his communication with this man, this lost man who needed to know what God was saying to him. And he began to communicate, the scripture says, the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus, using this scripture. You see, people don't need to hear a fancy presentation or a PowerPoint or anything else. They just need to hear the good news. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Jesus Christ, who did no sin, became all sin for me so that I could be made right with God. That's the good news. You might say, well, I don't have the 10-point illustration that I need to have yet. Well, if you really think you need to have it, why don't you do that? But you really don't need a 10-point illustration. All you need to be able to say is, Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. And He paid for my sins with His precious blood. And if I trust Him as my Lord and Savior and believe in my heart God raised Him from the dead, I'll be saved. I mean, that's the good news. And folks, it's better than any news you're going to see on TV. I guarantee it. It's the best news that anybody has ever heard. And this Ethiopian eunuch heard that great news. So you know what happened? As Philip shared it with them, no doubt that along the way they were talking about it. And I'm sure in the midst of it, he had mentioned that now that you're saved, you need to be baptized as an outward show of what's happened inside of your heart. And he began discipling him even along the way. You might say, well, wait a minute. Did he meet with him every day for 12 weeks or something? That's the discipleship program, isn't it? And that's not what I'm talking about. Discipleship is part of sharing the gospel, following up after your conversation, making sure they understand what you've been telling them, and teaching them, the Scripture says, to obey all that I've commanded you. That's what discipleship means. It's two guys in the same ship. It's two people working together. The first step of following after is a disciple, as a disciple is created or being made, is baptizing them. In fact, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 says it like this: make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so, obviously, Philip had shared the gospel. He had told the Ethiopian about following Christ through baptism. You know how I know that? Because it says this: after they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Here it is. Why shouldn't I be baptized right now? Did Philip say, oh, no, you can't do that. We have to go to a Southern Baptist church to be baptized. No. He didn't say, oh, you got to go to the temple to be baptized. No. He said, yeah, let's do this. And they both went down into the water, the Scripture said. And he was baptized. You see, that's part of discipling. That's part of teaching. That's part of bringing people along. But for the Ethiopian eunuch, it was a dedication part in his heart, saying this: I want to follow the one who died on the cross for me, who was buried, and who rose again. And I'm not ashamed. And the Scripture said, he was baptized. Folks, again, there's nothing in a baptistry in that water that's holy that's going to wash any sins off of you. Jesus already did that when you asked Him to come into your life. But it is the first act of obedience in a Christian's walk. Why? Because God said to do it. To picture what He's done for you. And you know what? There are multiple people that have told me, as I shared Christ with them, oh yeah, I saw so-and-so get baptized, and I was wondering what that was all about. It's an outward testimony of something that's already taken place. It's a picture so that people can see that Jesus came and died and was buried and rose again. It's a picture to see that I died to my old way of life, and now I've become a new creation. And now we are walking together in the newness of life. All God is doing, asking us to do, is to be obedient. To go and tell. To be witnesses. To be salt and light. Father, I ask You to help us. Lord, and I know that You're already doing that because You sent the Holy Spirit. whom he said would walk alongside us and encourage us. Encourage us to do what you've called us to do. Not encourage us to do what we want to do. Because it's not about us. It's about you.